What up, guys? Welcome to Archive TV. I'm Shane, he's Fletch, and we are back, this time for a concentrate review. We're smoking some hash today. I actually went over to the shop and picked up a few things to review for you guys, so we're going to be banging out a few of these. What are we looking at here first, Fletch?
This looks like it's purple petals, like petals on a flower. It looks nice and fresh. It's produced only like less than 2 weeks ago.
This is from Happy Cabin.
And it was tested on the 27th, so this is, only a few days old.
Looks fresh.
Looks super fresh. Doesn't look oxidized at all.
No, definitely a strong nose on it too. I don't know. I'm not getting a super crazy OG thing out of this, but maybe I see some of that like Fruity Pebbles type thing. It's definitely sweet.
Yeah, it's purple OG cross with Fruity Pebbles OG. And Fruity Pebbles, I think, is the parent in Grape Pie, maybe. So, and that this kind of has a Grape Pie smell to me. It's a little less grapey than it, but it's that underlying Fruity Pebble OG kind of smell, to me at least.
It smells good. Definitely, yeah. Smells.
It's almost like a corn flaky kind of smell, like fruity corn flake OG.
Gonna fire up the Focus V here.
I'm gonna hit the torch.
Going on the M&P rig over there.
Mm-hmm. You gotta keep asking one of those dabbers next to you.
Tell me that rig right there was the first rig with freeze-dried hash smoked through it.
Pretty sure if I remember right.
Piece of history right there. All right, go in on going on those purple petals.
Got the little dental dabber.
I'm getting like a little bit of OG thing there on the exhale a little bit. It's definitely got a little bit of that purpley thing, like you were saying. It's almost got like a Milky Way or something, like a candy bar,
or like cereal milk kind of thing.
Maybe not the Milky Way. What's the other one that nobody ate? Not Three Musketeers. That's what I'm getting out of it. The Three Musketeers dirt.
Yeah.
Like that weird nougat, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that is? That's Three Musketeers, just nougat with a little chocolate?
Mm-hmm. It's not a super distinct flavor. It's just like a... It has some of the Fruity Pebble kind of taste, I guess. I could see that.
I feel like with rosin, and I used to think this with hash, but same thing with rosin, like there's the really standout shit is the stuff where you almost forget that you're smoking rosin. Like it doesn't have that background hashy flavor.
Yeah.
It's just whatever the terp profile is that's unique to that variety. This one I'm getting like a general hashy taste. Like I get even with a lot of good rosin too.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it makes it harder to pick out what's in between that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think just the part of the process of making rosin where you have to heat the hash up for a certain period of time to get it to extract. There's certain terpene profiles that just don't make it through it as strong.
Way too volatile.
Yeah, cookies is a great example. OG, just like real OG is a great example. Once you try and convert them at all from like bubble hash or a cold product, let's call it, before it's been heated up, as soon as you try and like heat it up, it just loses a lot of its smell and the distinctness of its smell and flavor. Just becomes more muddled, let's call it. I think cookies is a good example of that. I mean, that's why you don't see cookies hash ever, or like I don't think Sunset Sherbert's good either. I never see Sunset Sherbert hash either.
I don't really see ton of stuff like in that general family. You don't see like a lot of biscotti gelato hash either, you know what I mean?
Partially probably because they don't wash.
Yeah,
I would imagine. I haven't tried with those specific strains, but I think it's also because the even what little bit of hash you do get from them, it's best consumed as bubble hash and not converted to rosin. Yeah. I have a bunch of strains that are like that, where it's like, I just smoke the bubble. I don't really want to convert it, because once I convert it to rosin, it just gets this more generic kind of flavor. And I think that's just part of you know, when you make rosin, you can smell what's coming off of it, you know, when you're pressing at 150 to 210 degrees. You're losing something.
Yeah.
If you're smelling it, you're losing it.
Even if it's super low temp, low time press, you know what I mean? Even like when we would fuck around and just try to do like make the most heady dab that you could, like a singular dab, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I would argue, like, you know how some people are trying to go really low temp, but it ends up being like a 20-minute press time or something like that. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think...
I think it's time and temperature. It's exposure to both. And, like, you can decarboxylate after 20 or 30 minutes. Not at 150 degrees, but that's the amount of time it takes for a lot of conversions to occur.
I don't know if that long slow is where it's at, though. I think there's probably a happy medium somewhere in the middle. You have to sacrifice a little bit on both sides to get what you want.
That's what I think the optimum temperature and time is, where you've gotten to the lowest temperature with the fastest press.
Yeah.
So if you can get like your press underneath, let's say 2 minutes, or even a minute, depending on the material, try to find the lowest temperature that'll continue to press out that quickly. And that's your happy medium between for that strain, at least, or that run or that batch of hash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stuff, I'm pretty impressed, you know. Anytime you get into a shop, yeah, definitely feeling it upstairs for sure. But anytime you walk into a place and you can find something nice that's really fresh, you know.
Agreed.
You can't beat freshness. And when you work with a shop that, you know, deals with good vendors that bring them quality, and then they have people that appreciate the quality, that means there's going to be more turnover. That means shit's generally going to be a little bit fresher.
That's the goal at the end of the day, is you don't want, you know, it's just like the fruit at the grocery store. You don't want stuff that's been sitting around forever. Ideally, they pick it up every week.
The more high-end stuff, I notice in California, it's harder to find fresher, because even the limited drops, there's so few people nowadays that are spending that type of money in the dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying people don't still want to buy high-end and nicest shit, but it's generally not in the dispensary nowadays. You know what I mean? So.
Well, and I think that the customer is burnt out on being bamboozled by a lot of producers, where it's this super limited $100 gram drop or whatever, and then you go get it and it's really not impressive. And it's like, fuck, I just spent $135 on a gram of hash that if I had been able to just smell it before I bought it, I wouldn't have bought it, you know? And people just have purchase fatigue, I think. And I think in the black market, because essentially what your black market dealer has become at this point is a taste curator for their customer base. And essentially it's like, look, you know, the market has become where you don't get to sample before you buy now. So now you gotta find someone that you trust.
You gotta trust their palate.
And you trust their palate, and then you allow them to do the shopping for you. Because there's too many scams going on to have the time to do it, when you could just essentially pay someone for that service. It's like a Consumer Reports for weed buyers. You find someone that, regardless of whether it came from legal or illegal source, they're still curating the best product. And especially people that aren't in California are getting that for sure.
You're never gonna beat the deli style, I don't think, as far as like the overall experience. If you were to rate all the different versions of legal weed and what was like the heyday or the best experience, or the version of it that I wish everybody got to experience at least once, it's just like the small shop, family feel, deli, walk in. Hey, what, you know what I like. You know what's right up my alley. Like, what's new?
Well, show it to me.
Yeah, let me smell it. You know, tell me a little bit about it from somebody who is knowledgeable on it and has actually tried it themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of times, man, I've done dispensary tours where I go into these places and I'm asking them questions about the weed, and you can tell they might not even smoke. Or they don't smoke that.
Well, they definitely haven't gotten to smell it.
Or nowadays it's like a lot of these people, they're just doing fucking carts. You know what I mean?
I agree. And carts are taking over for sure.
And that's not, when I meet someone like, oh yeah, I smoke, I get high. And then it's like, oh yeah, I just puff on a cart all day. I'm like, okay, that's not the same thing. When I used to meet somebody who said, I smoke weed, I'm like, okay, we have a common thing. Now I'm like, that's not always the truth nowadays. You know what I mean?
I would be concerned with the long-term health effects of smoking the cheapest piece of plastic and metal to vaporize. I mean, you know, I think Focus V and like Puffco do a good job at trying to make a higher quality product and use silicone, but I still, you know, question is there a potential health effect from, you know, just using hardware that's maybe not fully vetted? Let's put it that way. Not every component is rated to go to that temperature and not necessarily off-gas something harmful.
What you would want is like medical grade on every single piece in this.
And ideally, and even then, I still don't think it would necessarily be better than glass, because this is the true inert medium. This is why you do, like, there's no part of the inside of this that you're smoking that you can do a science experiment in.
Yeah.
Except for this part, right? The glass part. But this, I can fucking make LSD inside this.
The reason they borrow in the lab.
Yeah. I mean, not literally this, but the whole, all the equipment's going to be pretty much all exclusively glass. So.
Yeah. Any other method, you're going to have some unknown, you know.
And there may be some potential contaminant with like heating up quartz or something like that. I don't think there is much, because there's not really much in it other than the silicate glass or the quartz glass that's in it.
I think that probably was a problem back in the day when dabbing first came around and we were taking red hot dabs.
Off a tiny, like whatever titanium rod stick that you were getting.
Whatever grade they
exactly
had. I remember when people would advertise grade one titanium, you know, which means that a lot of people weren't. They were using grade two or three, you know.
Or no grade, just called titanium. I think that's the one thing about carts in particular, and not just for weed, but for nicotine and everything else too, is I don't know if I would. I think we have enough history of people smoking weed and not dying from it, essentially. I don't know if introducing all these other potentially harmful hardwares is gonna necessarily help that over the long term.
Yeah, it could be a thing where like some new way that we've introduced to consume the product that's always been safe is the thing that makes it now unsafe and might actually start, you know, hurting people.
So. Exactly. So that's something to keep in mind if you are just a weed smoker that's, you know, only smokes vapes, or you feel like you're smoking more vapes than you should.
I feel like it's
something to consider about your health. I'm not saying it is a problem. I'm just saying it's something for you to make a decision on for yourself. Yeah. I personally refrain from them as much as possible.
I don't really hang around a lot of people that, you know, smoke them either. You know,
right.
I mean, just like especially the regular vapes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're the type of the viewers out there, the type of people who are into this type of shit, probably are like the not the category of people that typically are the vape crowd, you know what I mean? Because we're into like figuring out what is the best, you know what I mean? Smoking clean organic product.
I gotta admit though, some really nice live resin in like a 510 ceramic cart when you're on the go and wanna get a rip like on a boat or something where there's people around or whatever. I can't say that it's a bad experience by any means, but what I've noticed is if I rip a pen for like 2 or 3 days, I feel like I could feel it in my throat. I get harshed out, more phlegm, all that kind of stuff.
I think it's like anything, you know, people sacrifice for convenience, you know. I guess if I were to hit one, I'm just looking at it like I'm fucking just, you know, it's drive-thru, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a real meal. It's not real food.
Yeah.
It's not Taco Bell.
I'm not saying no one should do it or this. I'm just saying it's something to consider with when you're talking about how much of your consumption is one method or the other. It's just like food, like you're just saying. We all try to eat well, but it doesn't mean every single meal you're going to eat is always going to be perfect and you never have a fucking Big Mac in your life from now on forever. It's like, it's a little extreme. You know, life isn't that convenient all the time. And sometimes you need convenience to make your life a little bit easier or to get something accomplished.
Yep, you ain't lying. Pretty stoned with this stuff. Definitely like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Nice, fresh, good flavor. You know, not like we said, nothing super exotic or standout with the flavor, but solid.
But nice.
Yeah, definitely overall pretty good stuff. Thank you guys for joining us for this one. We will see you on the next one. Do all the stuff. Press all the buttons. Later.